Welcome, everyone, to the Universal Ultrasound Podcast, Episode 2. This is Julie Cardoso, and today's topic, we're going to be discussing lower extremity venous screening. I'm very passionate about this topic because it's something that I struggled with earlier in my sonography career. Throughout the years, one of the most important things that I've learned is that my arsenal is not limited to the transducer. And this goes for all the imaging modalities, not just today's topic about venous insufficiency. I want to encourage you all to use your eyes and your ears and look at the clinical signs and symptoms that present in the patient before you even start your duplex examination. Well, what do I mean by observe the patient's clinical signs and symptoms? You need to make a mental map of how the patient is presenting to you with all the abnormal venous anatomy, whether they have spider veins, bulging veins, where they are, how many there are, if the patient has swelling, skin discoloration, healed ulcers, or they could have active ulcers. And if they do, where are they? And how many does that patient have? These are things that you could and should observe prior to picking up the transducer. Another thing is that you want to talk to your patient about their symptoms. You know, your patient knows how their car is running, so you need to ask them, do you have pain when you stand for a long period of time? Your varicose veins, do they bother you? Are they painful? Do you wear compression stockings? And if so, have you worn them today prior to your duplex examination? And that's important to know because that can affect your diameter size and also the patient eliciting reflux with duplex ultrasound. And if they were wearing compression, how long have they been in compression? Does it work for them? Do they get symptom relief? I really want to encourage you all to be familiar with VCSS and SEEP scoring, which will help you classify their symptoms. So I'll talk a little bit about the basics. SEEP is actually an acronym, C-E-A-P. C stands for clinical, which describes the appearance of the patient. E stands for etiologic, which describes the cause of the pathology. Is it congenital, primary, or secondary? A stands for anatomic, meaning which vessels are affected. Is it the superficial system, perforators, or deep system? The P stands for pathophysiologic, which describes the process behind the pathology, reflux, obstruction, or a combination. Now, VCSS, which is venous clinical severity scoring, is a complementary system that also focuses on the patient's management, such as the use of compression therapy. It is more effective at tracking the patient's progress throughout their treatment. Now that we have a mental map of these venous abnormalities and a basic idea of the patient's issues, this is where we play detective. We need to figure out what is the source of these issues. Is it from the deep system, superficial system, or is it not venous related at all? So you know how Sherlock Holmes has his magnifying glass to look for fine details. In our case, we have the linear transducer, and we will be using this transducer to image both the deep and the superficial system from groin to ankle. We start our exam with the deep system. At this point, the patient needs to be placed in the supine position. Now that the patient's in the supine position, it's important that we assess the deep venous system from the common femoral vein to the calf veins. So what you want to do is in transverse view, make sure the vein walls collapse. So you actually demonstrate full wall coaptation from the common femoral vein to the confluence of the deep femoral vein and the femoral vein. Next, assess the femoral vein, proximal, mid, and distal, to the confluence of the popliteal vein. Then you need to assess the popliteal vein with compression maneuvers from proximal, mid, and distal. Also, it's important that you assess the calf veins. Now, which calf veins to assess is up to the facility. IAC requires facilities to demonstrate compression maneuvers of the deep venous system up to the popliteal vein. But they also want you to include great saphenous vein and small saphenous vein compression. After completing compression maneuvers to rule out DVT as a potential source of our patient's issues, the next step is to assess for venous reflux. Personally, I prefer to stand my patients up. A lot of facilities prefer to place their patients in steep reverse Trendelenburg. However, I feel that standing the patient is more effective at our goal, which is to maximize hydrostatic pressure. The only time I would utilize steep reverse Trendelenburg is if the patient had issues with standing or had a vasovagal reaction. Once you have the patient standing, you're going to assess for reflux in the common femoral vein, midfemoral vein, and popliteal vein. When assessing for venous waveforms, you want to assure that they are phasic and vary with respiration. If you can't see these features, there's a good chance that your machine settings are off. So this is what you need to do. You need to decrease your Doppler scale to a setting of 20 to 10 or 15 to 5, depending upon the manufacturer, and adjust your sweep speed to a lower setting. So this way you can see the phasicity of the venous flow. If you still can't see phasicity or reflux after fixing those settings, another reason for poor visualization may be Doppler noise. Now, Doppler noise appears as an artifact above and below the baseline of your Doppler scale at the same time. And this occurs for numerous reasons. One is incorrect sample gate size. So if your sample gate is too big or too small, you can pick up artifact. Also, the beam steer. Inappropriate beam steering can also be an issue. You want to make sure your beam steer is directly in line with the flow. The other is the Doppler angle. You want to make sure your Doppler angle is at 60 degrees or parallel to the vessel wall, and make sure it's in the center of the lumen in order to pick up the phasicity of venous flow and reflux. There are a couple different maneuvers you can utilize to augment venous flow. When you're assessing the veins closer to the groin region, the common femoral vein, saphenofemoral vein junction, great saphenous vein at the saphenofemoral junction, you can utilize the Valsalva maneuver, which will augment venous flow. Anything below those areas, you need to use distal augmentation maneuvers, which can be a dorsal foot flex, a distal manual compression, compression of the venous plexus of the foot, or a pneumatic pump that's tightly wrapped around the calf muscle pump. I prefer the pneumatic pump because it eliminates variability of venous flow from one side to the other and from one sonographer to the other. The pump is automatic, so you don't have to use your free hand to perform a distal augment. So this eliminates any Doppler artifact that would have been caused by movement. It's also ergonomically friendly. Now, if I don't have access to a pneumatic pump at a facility, I'll implement the dorsal foot flex or compression of the venous plexus of the foot. This is the next best thing ergonomically. Next, we're going to assess the superficial system, which can be tricky because oftentimes you see multiple veins in one spot. And for an amateur sonographer, it may be difficult to distinguish which vein is which. So we need to remember our anatomy. The great saphenous vein starts at the groin, courses the leg medial until the knee, and then beyond the knee, it courses the leg anteriorly. The anterior accessory saphenous vein courses the leg from the groin anterior lateral. And then you may also have one more vein there called the posterior accessory saphenous vein. And that courses the leg posteriorly and goes medial and oftentimes terminates into the thigh extension vein in the back of the patient's leg. So what does this look like on duplex? Where your transducer is on the patient's leg in conjunction to what you're seeing on the screen need to match. So if you're looking at the great saphenous vein, typically the great saphenous vein, again, is medial. So your transducer will be medial in the patient's leg. If you're looking at the anterior accessory saphenous, your transducer will be more anterior on the patient's leg. And also on your image, you will see the deep system directly in line with it. And this is called the alignment sign. To properly assess saphenous veins, whether it's the great saphenous, anterior, posterior accessory, or small saphenous vein, you want to assess these vessels in both the transverse and the longitudinal view. IEC standards require the great saphenous vein assessment to be obtained at the saphenofemoral junction, the proximal thigh, and the knee, and the rest of the assessment is up to the facility's discretion. It is important to take caliper measurements of each segment from outer edge to outer edge. And then you want to document the extent of the reflux in longitudinal view using pulse wave Doppler and the augmentation maneuvers. Beyond the veins mentioned, we often see other veins in the superficial system, which are called tributaries. Now, tributaries are veins that branch off the saphenous veins into the superficial compartment. You want to make sure you know where these tributaries arise and where they exit. And you should make a detailed map of this, not only in your mind, but also on paper for the treating physician. Measure the diameter of these tributaries from outer edge to outer edge and utilize pulse wave Doppler to assess for reflux. The final system that we are going to assess are the perforators. Perforators are communication between the superficial system and the deep system. To identify a perforator, you will see a vessel pierce through the muscular fascia into the superficial compartment, connecting either into a tributary or the great saphenous vein. It's important that we measure the diameters where the vessel pierces through the muscular fascia. Then you want to assess them with pulse wave Doppler. Oftentimes, a distal augmentation maneuver isn't enough to elicit reflux in these perforators. So I like this technique called the toe wiggle. To describe it, you need to have the patient's foot completely flat on the floor, the ball and the heel. And you just tell the patient to wiggle their toes without lifting the ball of their foot or their heel. And that's going to mimic venous flow from superficial to deep. Then you're going to tell the patient to stop. And once the patient stops, if that perforator is incompetent, you will see flow above the baseline, and therefore you can measure the reflux time if it's present. And remember, if a perforator is present, doesn't necessarily mean it's incompetent. In my experience, surveilling patients with C4, C5, or even C6 disease, they've had numerous perforators, but they all weren't incompetent. They varied in size from 0.18 centimeters to 0.45 centimeters. And no matter what augmentation maneuver I tried, I could not elicit reflux. And that was most likely due to venous hypertension. Now that we assessed each of the venous systems with ultrasound and observed everything that we could regarding the patient's clinical signs and symptoms, our detective work is done. As a sonographer, we would be in a great position to provide the physician with the information needed to determine the source, extent, and severity of the patient's pathology. Likewise, as a physician, we would be in a good position to interpret this information and create an appropriate treatment plan for the patient. What we covered today was the very basics. We will expand on each of the topics discussed in future podcasts, but for now, I hope this served as a solid foundation regarding the lower extremity venous screening process. Please follow me on social media. All of my social media handles are listed in the podcast description. As this is a young podcast, your feedback is invaluable. Please reach out through your favorite social media platform, whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. I check them all. Let me know your thoughts on this episode, what you would like to hear in future episodes, and what we can do to make this podcast better. We will have a new episode coming out shortly. In the meantime, I look forward to all your thoughts and thank you for all your support. Until the next one.
Thank you for listening to the Universal Ultrasound Podcast.